You're listening to Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudette. 1 week after Governor Brad Little signed it into law, Idaho's new abortion law is facing a lawsuit. On Wednesday, Planned Parenthood, Great Northwest, Hawaii, Alaska, Indiana, Kentucky, filed a petition in Idaho Supreme Court to block the law, which is set to go into effect April 22nd. Modeled after a new Texas law, the Idaho legislation bans abortions after about 6 weeks of pregnancy, before most women are even aware they're pregnant. It also allows family members of what the law calls a preborn child to sue the abortion provider. So joining us today to talk about this new law, as well as the lawsuit, is University of Idaho law professor Shakira Sanders. Hi, Shakira.
Good afternoon. Thank you for having me.
It is always so good to have you on the program. So first, can we talk about the constitutional issues with this new law? Because even Governor Little, when he signed this into law, stated it is unconstitutional and unwise.
So essentially, you have two broad buckets of constitutional, potential constitutional claims. One, does this law violate the dictates of Planned Parenthood versus Roe and Roe versus Wade and Planned Parenthood versus Casey, both of which protect the right to terminate a pregnancy? And also under our Constitution, there's this broad right of privacy. So the question would be, does this law violate privacy, even if it passes or fails muster under Roe and Planned Parenthood versus Casey?
I think this privacy issue is very interesting because it seems that we haven't focused much on that. There seems to be focus on, you know, the constitutionality of abortion, in particular with Roe v. Wade. So can we talk a little bit more about the potential unconstitutionality when it comes to a person's right to privacy?
So very broadly, the U.S. Supreme Court in a case called Griswold versus Connecticut in the 1960s declared that there is a right of privacy. That case concerned a Connecticut law that banned the use of contraceptives for married couples. There, the court said the married couple has a right to privacy, and the state's intrusion on their choice not to procreate violates that right to privacy. Now, I'll just say Griswold is one of my most fun cases to cover because we see the court sort of devising of this idea of privacy in the constitutional sense for the first time using a theory called penumbras, which is there are a number of U.S. constitutional provisions that have implied with them a right to privacy. And if we look at all of these provisions together, in addition to the Ninth Amendment, which protects unenumerated rights, the court found that there is privacy throughout the Constitution, and therefore it is a constitutional right.
So we should note that attorneys from WilmerHale, which is an international law firm, and then the Boise-based Bartlett French filed the petition. They filed it on behalf of the regional Planned Parenthood affiliate, but as well as Dr. Caitlin Gustafson, who is an abortion provider in Idaho. She's a Valley County doctor. There was a news conference held Wednesday. And during that news conference, Dr. Gustafson said, you know, decisions about pregnancy are complicated. They need to be made between a patient and their doctor without influence and direction from the government. One of the representing attorneys said, quote, "We view this law as blatantly unconstitutional. It is government overreach at its worst. We believe that pregnant people have the right to make their own healthcare decisions without the interference from politicians," unquote. Shakira, talk about that in the sense of government overreach or the potential government overreach.
So the first ground, I think, for potential government overreach is that Roe versus Wade and Planned Parenthood versus Casey protect the right to terminate a pregnancy pre-viability. To the extent that Idaho's new law intrudes on the right to terminate a pregnancy during the period of viability, that would be the charge there. Now, Planned Parenthood versus Casey did say that a state has a compelling interest in fetal life at the moment of conception. And the case said that the government has the ability to persuade an individual to choose childbirth versus termination. But that case said your law, a state law, cannot place an undue burden on the right to choose such that it creates a substantial obstacle. The argument here being that the ability to sue an abortion clinic and possibly put it out of business would create a substantial obstacle towards an individual's right to choose to terminate a pregnancy. And I'll just add that the court has made clear that abortion regulations are not just about regulations on the individual. It can include regulations on providers, such that if there are government laws that reduce the number of providers or eliminate the number of providers, that can create an undue burden or place a substantial obstacle on the right to choose, given the lack of access.
What else is interesting about this is that the Idaho Attorney General's office, they are the office that will be defending this, defending the state of Idaho against this lawsuit that was filed Wednesday. With that said, the Attorney General's office wrote an opinion earlier this year, also saying that this new law is potentially unconstitutional. So how in the world does that all play into this? I mean, here is the office charged with defending this lawsuit that's already come out and said, we believe there are constitutional issues.
Well, wouldn't be the first time that we've seen the Attorney General's office warn the legislature that a potential piece of legislation is unconstitutional. Now, in some cases, the Attorney General has chosen to retain outside counsel, and in other situations, the Attorney General has chosen to represent the state. It'll be very interesting whether in this situation, the Attorney General will choose outside counsel, thus potentially charging the taxpayers for that extra legal expense, or if the Attorney General will litigate this case despite the prior opinion that it is unconstitutional.
Right, because in February, it was the Idaho Chief Deputy Attorney General Brian Kane wrote a legal opinion. And in that, he was concerned about delegating enforcement powers to citizens and then granting legal standing to family members who can claim a minimum of $20,000 in penalty for injuries. So how once again, your thoughts on that from a constitutional standpoint?
Yeah, it's super interesting, right? And I think about this from the broad perspective and the narrow perspective. So starting with the narrow perspective in this particular case, it's very interesting how other laws will interact. There are rights of privacy between doctors and patients. There are rights of privacy outside the constitutional. Idaho is a state that has adopted the Restatement of Torts that provides a number of individual privacy claims against businesses. Against individuals. Now, here's the catch. Corporate privacy or business privacy is not necessarily a constitutional right or a right that is protected in tort law. However, when it comes to the relationship between hospitals, doctors, medical providers, and patients, doctor-patient confidentiality has been seen as a pretty strong bar against probing into medical decisions that individuals make. So it is very unclear here whether this Idaho law could even pass muster when challenged on the basis of statutory privacy rights, like invasion of privacy, which will likely have to happen if you want to find out whether someone has had an abortion, but also that very strong evidentiary rule against disclosing conversations between doctors and their patients. Finally, I'll now, say at the broad level, there have been Idaho laws in the past where the state has sought to keep individuals out of a business's activities, particularly the AGGAT statutes, which were partially struck down under the First Amendment. So here it's very interesting to me that in one context, the state legislature is very much against intruding on business privacy. On the other hand, when it comes to other businesses, the state has sort of opened the doors to provide a private right of action. It will be interesting to see whether a court looks at some of these past laws to say, hey, Idaho, you're unfairly targeting an unpopular group, abortion providers, under equal protection jurisprudence. Targeting unpopular groups has proven to be a non-legitimate, non-compelling, non-important interest.
And we should note that there are proponents of the law. One organization in particular, Idaho Family Policy Center, which helped craft the legislation, believe that the law is constitutional. It is scientific, and it is morally sound. And there are proponents that also say that, you know, the similar law in Texas, it has successfully withstood several legal challenges in the federal courts. That law took effect in September. So proponents believe that we will see the same thing happen here in Idaho. However, and correct me if I'm wrong on this, Shakira, I believe there's one difference in the Idaho law, and that is that in Texas, you cannot sue the state government, I believe, but in Idaho, you can. So what are your thoughts on whether Idaho could potentially see the same path that Texas has seen, which is that it has withstood these challenges?
Well, first, I want to make clear that the challenges in Texas have not been litigated fully. What you were dealing there with were attempts to get an injunction of enforcement or application of the law to give the courts time to sort of flush it out. And what we saw is a rejection of a temporary restraining order or a permanent injunction. So we haven't really gotten to the question of the ultimate constitutionality. I think that there are aspects of Idaho's law that could make it harder to litigate. To the extent that Idaho has said family members either fathers, if you're not a rapist, but larger family members can bring
these. But the rapist family can sue.
Exactly. Well, the U.S. Supreme Court has ruled for some time that biological fathers do not have an interest or enough of an interest in the fetus to allow for the state to intrude on the right to choose. And so if the biological father does not have a strong enough interest, how is it that Idaho can either go against that in the concept of the non-rapist father, right? But even the family members of the pregnant individual or the potential father, how can they have an interest if the court has already said the biological father does not? So it very well may be that the interest that Idaho is protecting is illegitimate, not important enough, or not compelling enough. Mm.
So what happens next then, since this lawsuit was filed Wednesday, for folks who do not follow the law, what is that next step?
I think we can anticipate a similar path of what we've seen in Texas, which that now that the lawsuit is filed, I'm pretty sure it includes a request for a temporary or permanent injunction on enforcement to give the courts time to look at it. Very unclear, given what we saw in Texas, whether that will succeed. Whether it succeeds or not, I anticipate an appeal to the Ninth Circuit and from there to the U.S. Supreme Court. We could also see, like in Texas, a punting of some issues to the Idaho state courts. And so procedurally, I think we can expect what we saw in Texas. Whether the result will be different, I think is unclear.
And with that said, today is March 31st, 23 days until the law is set to take effect in Idaho. I am assuming this case will go in front of a judge before April 22nd, since they are asking for this injunction.
Yes, yes. And I think it could very well be that we have hearings next week on whether there could be a temporary or permanent injunction.
I appreciate your analysis on this and talking us through and taking us through the steps on how all of this works and the constitutional issues surrounding this. Thank you so much for your expertise.
Thank you so much for having me again.
It is always a pleasure. We've been talking with University of Idaho Law Professor Shakira Sanders about a legal challenge to Idaho's new abortion law set to take effect April 22nd. We'll have more Idaho Matters next.